Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to welcome you to chapel once more, and lovely spring weather we're having. So, yes, it's always good. It lifts us, doesn't it? I'd just like to start off with reading a verse from Acts 2, verse 42. We're going to be looking at this passage later on, and it goes like this. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And really, that's what we're talking about, the first church community. Last time we remember the Holy Spirit came down, and so this is directly following that event, and we're seeing what the first church community, how they did church, really. And it's interesting, all the believers met together in the temple and also in people's homes for the breaking of bread. So you had a big group and a little group. There was no such things as different church denominations. They did meet in smaller groups, presumably for geographical reasons, presumably with people they knew as friends or been similar characters or whatever. But each group was following the apostles' teaching, fellowship, sharing of meals, and breaking of bread and prayer. Shall we commit our time to God this morning? Dear Lord God, we just thank you that as we look at the early church this morning, Lord, we ask that we can learn how we can do church better as well. Oh Lord God, we want to worship you with our whole lives, not just for an hour on Sunday morning, but with our whole lives. And so Lord, enable us to see how we do that throughout the week as well as Sundays. Lord, be with us, be with any who are still coming. Bless and encourage them to get here safely. And for us, Lord, we just want to know your Holy Spirit with us. Lord, we want your presence here because we can't do this on our own. So we thank you, Lord, you have promised that. And Lord, let us know you with us. Help us, we pray. Amen. We're looking at a church community, the first as the church started. Our word for that, this on our walk through the Bible, is community, and we're going to do kind of a big hug on community. So this is number 26, so we're over halfway, and so shall we give it a go with, if you want to have a go with us, please do so. We go Greece, language, Israel, hopes, Rome, roads, birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan, second birth, woman at the well, rejection, selection, parables, miracles, testimony of Peter, transfiguration, counting the cost, seeking the lost, Lazarus raised, Zacchaeus praised, triumphal entry, temple cleansing, Last Supper, prayed, betrayed, tried, denied, crucified, resurrected, ascended, Spirit, community. Okay, that's good. But just a quick verse, Acts 17, it says, they listened eagerly to Paul's message and they searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. So that's good for us to do as well, to be like the Bereans, searching through the Bible to see if we're getting the truth and holding on to the truth. So our reading is Acts chapter 2, verses 40 to 47. And would somebody like to read this for Gerald? Thank you.
Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all the listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Thank you. Okay, so it's a nice sort of short passage. We're going to look through that as we go through this morning. So last time I spoke, it was about the Holy Spirit coming on the apostles who preached the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection to all the visitors and the locals in Jerusalem. And remember, they spoke in languages or tongues that they hadn't learnt. And they caught the attention of the people because of that. And the onlookers also heard the sound of wind and these tongues of fire. But carrying immediately on from that, here Peter, he basically grabs a microphone and speaks up. And rather than speaking in unknown tongues to himself, he spoke in a local language. And he spoke as a Jew to the Jews on a Jewish holy day about the resurrection of the Jewish Messiah. And by the end of his talk, about 3,000 people believed and were baptized. That is just amazing. But, you know, 3,000 people, which church were they going to join? Or did they say, well, I don't think I need to go to church to be a Christian? So we're going to look at what these first Christians did. And the temple was a place they would have always met. Was where God-fearing Jews always met. But what should they do now? There was obviously synagogues as well further out. But what were they going to do now? Well, we read there, they actually still met in the temple. But could they join in the practice there? Could they continue in the temple? Well, I think probably the sacrifices took place in a different area of the temple. Well, the temple courts, where the sort of the biggest group gatherings were, I understand, was where the people met, where they met together. Most of those first believers were either Jews by birth or they'd converted to Jewish faith, I imagine. But since the death of Jesus, the Christians were no longer relying on the sacrifices of the animals. They worshipped Jesus, who completed their Jewish faith. Because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for sin, the sacrificial system of killing animals was done away with at the cross. And this is where they differed in belief from the Jewish faith. And they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So we understand from that our Christian faith is rooted in the Old Testament, you know, and we obviously we find Jesus in the New Testament, and the death and resurrection is obviously there. But Jesus was fulfilling all the law of Moses, which is the Old Testament, you know, so it's moving through. We can't just disregard the Old Testament and say, oh, I can't understand that. And you know, it's there. It was what God put in place and the Messiah to come to fulfill the whole thing. Verse 46 tells us that those first believers continued to worship together at the temple each day, and that they met also in people's homes to celebrate the Lord's Supper for meals and in order to praise God. And so they were doing these two things, big group of people in the temple and smaller groups around the town. Some of those homes they met in, I would imagine, belonged to wealthy business people, and I imagine they would be quite large homes, and they could have had large courtyards, you know, the size of this chapel perhaps, or bigger, who knows. And so they could accommodate a lot of people in those homes. So it's not maybe, you know, you're cramming 10 people into a room which is only designed for six. You know, there could have been spacious homes around for them to meet in. Interestingly, they didn't seem to set up a commune and all live together, but they did share the resources they had with one another, even selling some of their possessions and property to meet the needs of others. And it seems that they met as often as they could. They were eager to get together as believers. And, you know, I'm sure you will have heard people say or experienced it, you know, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. But if we look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we find this verse. Should we just say this together? And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so if we have a bit of a problem today with people saying they don't need to come to church, you know, it was obviously the case there as well, because the writer of the Hebrews had a reason to write this verse. Our Western society is very individual, isn't it? You know, we think about my rights and how I can help myself. And, you know, you can pull out some good points from that style of living. When individuals are motivated to do good things can happen. And when that person fails in their objectives, the person knows that they've got to change and take responsibility for their actions. But we've also got to be aware of the power of community as well. If an individual can do good, how much more good can a community do? We can pool our ideas, we can share the load, we can use the various talents available and find the best outcome for individuals or groups of people. Some people may argue that a particular church isn't good enough, or they don't like the way things are done in that church. Well, the perfect church doesn't exist, so don't go around looking for it, because it would be a waste of time. But we need a church that believes in the Bible, and then we need to be there and encourage those people there with our presence and our participation. But there's the old line, you know, if you do find the perfect church, then don't join it, because you're going to mess it up. It's a wonderful thought that my mum and dad are now actually in the perfect church. They're in heaven, and we one day will have the privilege of being there as well, if we believe in Jesus. But until then, we have to meet together with all of our faults and find a way forward. But we do well to remember that the majority of the world, it's really difficult to be openly Christian. And in many countries, there's genuine persecution for those who dare to meet in groups like we're doing now. So we are privileged people. Let's thank God for the gifts of church family and church community. I was just reading this morning about somewhere in Asia, somebody decided to be a Christian and they get kicked out of their home. They get told, you know, go away, we cannot have you anymore in our family. And yet, in this country, we have so much freedom. So I just wanted to just look at a little few things at why some Christians choose not to go to church or to be part of our church community. And, you know, I'm just going through these so that we can be on our guard, that we're not going to join them in those ways. So we can be quite actually socially awkward. This can be genuine difficulty to come into a room that you don't know many people, if any. It takes courage to enter a new church unless you happen to be an extrovert. People can feel awkward for a long time. So let's just make sure that when a new person comes here, that we can make them feel welcome and wanted, and not that they would feel like intruders coming into a private club that they may spoil. Some of the way things are done may not be our taste. Maybe we like a hymn sandwich, or maybe we dislike a hymn sandwich. Maybe the chap at the front of us is being a bit thoughtless and his phone's pinging away all through the service, and it really annoys us. Let's admit it, you know, sometimes these very petty things can grate on us, and we don't need to let that happen. We can be hurt. That's another genuine excuse. Sadly, Christians sometimes do hurt one another, often unintended. There's misunderstandings, but we need to sort out the problems amongst ourselves and forgive those people, because we are a forgiven people. This comes to mind an old memory verse from Colossians 3. Should we just say this together? Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forget others. Colossians 3, verse 13. Pride. I think we're all capable of this, of arrogance, certainly. And we feel we could do a much better job if we were doing it. But there are jobs people are doing in this church as well as other churches, and maybe the particular person doing it is struggling and would actually use an extra pair of hands rather than criticism. And so Proverbs 13:10 reminds us that pride leads to conflict, and so we have to be very careful with pride. And the old saying, the people who attend church are all hypocrites. There's an excuse that we have all heard, I'm sure. Well, some of us probably are hypocrites. But we're not trying to follow people. We're trying to follow Jesus. And so that always needs to be remembered. Jesus came to save those who need to change. And that includes me for sure. Sometimes I don't live the way I should. And I need to change. But let's not use that as an excuse to not to bother. Jesus said in Luke 5:31, said, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I've come to call those of you who think they are righteous, not those who think they're righteous, but those who know that they are sinners and need to repent. And at the end of the day, we're all a work in progress. So let's be encouraged by Philippians 1:6, which says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is able to change us. And not only that, but he is going to change us in the day of Jesus Christ. Accountability. Maybe we don't attend church because we don't actually want to change. We don't want Jesus as our Lord. We'd rather be our own Lord, our own boss. Particularly when it comes to a particular sin in our lives, which we have no intention of changing. And we don't want to feel guilty about it. And we certainly don't want other Christians to know our failings. And worse still, they might point them out. True, we all want others to think well of us, but at times we need help. Simple as that. We need exhortation. We need encouragement to keep going. And so we can do that as we gather together, and we can help one another. And you know, there's the old problem with time. Many of us work long hours or we run out of time. But you know, all of us, we get the same 24 hours in a day. God has given us 6 days in a week in which to work, and he knows we function better on those 6 days when we take a seventh day to worship him, to rest. And surely even the busiest of people can spend an hour a week in church. There are some very busy people here, I know, and so hats off for getting here. So well done. But let's just go back to Hebrews 10:25 to remind us of that verse. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing nigh. So why would we not want to be encouraged, not want to be blessed, not want to be motivated and loved and helped by others? Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We need each other to help us to grow in the things of God. And so we need to hang on to that. And yes, sometimes it's difficult, but we need to persevere. But an old memory verse from Psalm 119:105 is, you just say this together, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Thank you. So yes, Jesus has given us his word to be a light for where we need to get to. John 13:34-35, Jesus says, a new commandment. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Love was very evident in the early church. Jesus had given this new commandment to his disciples. He knew how vital it would be. And the disciples followed it, and the people followed the disciples' lead. But who was the first to model this love? It was Jesus. Jesus said, love each other as I have loved you. So how did Jesus love his disciples. So I think Jesus chose them as individuals. They were ordinary men and women. And then he stuck with them. He trained them up in the ways of God. You know, they walked together side by side. Jesus didn't seem to lord it over them and crack the whip and say, come on, get it together, you guys. You know, he was there with them. And even when Peter failed him in the end at the cross, you know, he took Peter back and he restored him to his side in a wonderful way. And remember when Jesus was going around the place and he would come across a funeral procession, thank you. And, you know, he was touched by those people who were mourning. And he went to see Mary and Martha when Lazarus died, you know, and he cried because he was touched by their pain. And so he wasn't this person who was just better than everybody else, but he loved the people he came across. And that is such an important thing for us to remember. Romans 5, verse 5 says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly hopeless, Christ came at just the right time and died for our sins, died for us sinners. Now, most people will not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God didn't wait for us to become good before he was loving us. He loved us while we were still bad, while we were still in our sins. And so we see that all this this thing that was going on had the effect of building up the church. And the church was unified, it was magnified, and it was multiplied. You know, they were unified, they were at one with one another, they were at peace with one another. And they were magnified by enjoying the goodwill of the people. The people around them said, hey, look at these people. I you know, it looks really, really good, attractive to be in that group. And they were multiplied. Each day people were being saved and being added to the group. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? Every day. So just quickly, I want to look at the main characteristics of this first church in our Bible passage. It's a really, really rich passage. And so we first see, first of all, the people were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, we don't have the apostles today, but we do have the Bible. You know, they wrote it down, fortunately, and we have the Bible. So we need to be devoted to the Bible's teaching. Secondly, devoted to fellowship with one another. Fellowship, you know, we just come together and after the service, we're going to have an informal time with a cup of tea and biscuits. We can have some good fellowship with one another. We can say to each other, how are you doing? How did you get on last week? Those sorts of things, and encourage one another. They also remembered the Lord's Supper. Really important to keep Jesus central. And they remembered the Lord's death and the Lord's body and blood, how it was broken and his blood spilled for us. And they had prayer as a big thing in their services, their times together. And we too need to be prayerful. I know that I really struggle on this front. I need to pray more. And you know, God is available. The creator of this world is available to hear our prayers. Why wouldn't we want to pray to God? He is amazing. He designed those beautiful flowers we see. He designed us as people. He is amazing. He wants to have that relationship with us. There's a deep sense of awe amongst the people. And this was especially the case when the apostles performed miracles, signs and wonders together. But a deep sense of awe, you know, how big is God? How great is God? And yet he is willing to come to know us as individuals. And they met together. It says there, they met together all in one place and shared everything. That was 2 points there. They met together. They were in the same building, the same place. They met together. That meant something to them. And they shared what they had with those in need. They even sold stuff and shared the money that they had from those things they sold. And then they worshipped together. They worshipped God together in the temple every day. Later on, they were going to get kicked out of the temple. The Christians weren't going to be welcome there. But at the moment, they were able to be there, worshipping together in the temple courts. And then we see they met in homes. And so it wasn't just good enough to get to the temple on a Sunday, perhaps, or a Sabbath day. But they met together in their homes as they were able, where they shared meals together with joy and generosity. A wonderful time when you can just meet with people in their houses and share time with them over food. And then it carries on. They were praising God, singing songs perhaps. There's lots of ways to praise God, just speak of his goodness. But they were doing those things. And then we see they were enjoying the goodwill of all the people outside of their sort of bunch of Christians. They were well thought of. You know, and they may have been saying, oh, I wish I could have faith like yours. Have you had somebody say that to you before? I've heard it a few times. Not that I think I've anything special. But these people will say, you know, I wish I could have faith like you. And I say you can. You can have faith better than me because I'm not very great. And then we see at the end there, God added new people to their number. Others were being saved. And so we can ask ourselves, how do we here at Loham Chapel, how do we compare with this first church? Well, we could be on a bit of a downer and say, well, we're useless. We get this wrong. We get that wrong. But there's some things there I think we can say we do. On Thursday night, we're going to have a Bible study. We're going to open the Bible and we'll be looking at it. What does this mean? How do we understand it? How can we put it into practice? How do we compare? We have the Lord's Supper. We pray with one another. We meet together. And we can be good at sharing with what we have, worshiping together. We can meet in homes and have fellowship there as well. So don't be afraid to invite people to your homes and say, come and have tea with us, and have a Christian conversation as well at those times. It's really, really good. Sharing meals with joy and generosity. That's a lovely thought, isn't it? You're sharing this meal with joy and generosity. Sydney always shares a meal with joy, don't you? But enjoying the goodwill of the people. People will notice when we're like this. People will notice and they may say, I wish I could have faith. And we can say, yes, come on in. And you can indeed have your own faith in God. And then God will add new people to their number. It's interesting that it says the Lord added to their fellowship. It's actually God's job to do that, I think. We can share with people. Chris Gadd is going to be sharing in Langport, but God is the one who needs to touch the heart and to bring the people in. And so we can be praying that God will do that. God will be changing people to bring them in to our fellowship. So how do we compare? Well, you know, maybe we don't get several of those things very, very well. And so we can be asking ourselves, what can we do to be more like this first church in the book of Acts? And that's a very personal question. What can we do? I've gone through all those things, why we sometimes don't want to meet together. But what can we do to be more like the early church? A very personal question to ask ourselves. And so, that's kind of most of what I want to say, I think. We'll go through our hand signs once more to remind ourselves where we're getting into the story of the New Testament. And then we'll have a couple of songs and a time of prayer that we can use to speak to the Creator of the world. We can speak out loud or we can speak quietly in those times. So let's do our hand signs. And we go Greece, language, Israel, hope, Rome, roads, birth, baptized by John, tempted by Satan, second birth, woman at the well, rejection, selection, parables, miracles, testimony of Peter, transfiguration, counting the cost, seeking the lost, Lazarus raised, Zacchaeus praised, triumphal entry, temple cleansing, Last Supper, prayed, betrayed, tried, denied, crucified, resurrected, ascended, Spirit, community. Thank you very much. So we come to our hymn 319. I'd rather have Jesus and silver or